listening to that song, I was thinking, we just assume when you get to heaven that people speak English. Wrong. I know for Americans that's going to be a surprise, and they won't speak Spanish. I don't know. My thought of the day is I don't know what we'll speak, but it won't be English and it won't be Spanish, but all God's people will be together, and what a wonderful thing that will be. Thank you, Adi, so very, very much. If you have your Bibles, open them to Romans chapter 7. We're going to be looking at verses 14 through 25. I probably identify with this passage of Scripture more than any other Scripture in the New Testament. And it's a beautiful picture in Romans chapter 7 of a broken man, a man who is saved. I believe in chapter 7, Paul is not referring to his life before he became a Christian. I believe he's referring to his life as a Christian now and the struggle he's in. And I think when you hear these words, you can identify them if you're honest. When you hear these words, you understand that the Apostle Paul, who nearly all of us would say is one of the greatest Christians to ever live, he is being so incredibly honest about how he feels living the Christian life. So when I look at Romans 7, 14 through 25, I go, that's me. That's how I feel so often. And if you're honest, it's how you feel. It's how you feel trying to live the Christian life. And hopefully we'll learn some things this morning that will help us live it. So let's look beginning in verse 14. I want to read the whole passage. And one of the things you need to do, you need to look for words that occur over and over again, because usually those are there for a reason. But in verse 14, Paul says this. He says, so the trouble is not with the law, for it is spiritual and good. And I love this part. Look at this next part. This is where I identify. The trouble is with me. Paul says, the problem is not the law. The problem is me, for I am all too human, a slave to sin. And then you get to verse 15. He says, I don't really understand myself, for what I want to do is right, but I don't do it. Paul says, I want to do right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. Now, have you ever felt that way? Maybe you made a decision to try to live for Christ at a conference or a church service, and you're saying, man, I'm going to be different. I'm going to walk out of that church. I'm going to make a difference for Christ. And before you get to lunch, you've already messed up. And your heart's right, but you understand what Paul says when he says, I know what I should do, but I don't do it. And then look at verse 16. But if I know what I am doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good. So I am not the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. Verse 18. And I know that nothing good lives in me. I love that. I know that nothing good lives in me. A lot of people in the world today have this view that humans are basically good. That's not a very biblical view. We're born with a sin nature. So as good as you are, you're still not very good. Same for me. He says, and I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it always. But if I do what I don't want to do, I am not really the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I invariably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart, but there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. Do you not understand that most of your problems and my problems in the Christian life occur right up here, how we think? This power which makes me a slave to sin, to the sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Does that describe how you feel sometimes trying to live the Christian life? What a miserable. Another translation says wretched. What a wretched, miserable person I am. This is Paul. This is Paul speaking. And then he says, who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Then I love verse 25. Thank God. The answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to it. This is one of the most incredibly encouraging, powerful passages of scriptures I know of in the New Testament, because it basically describes how we feel so often as Christians, and we feel so often as Christians that we're not what we should be. And I can't tell you the number of times that we've all come away from a conference or a church service or reading our Bible with this decision, I want to do better, I want to live better, only to see it fall short within 24 hours. And then we think, oh, I can't do it, I can't do it, I can't do it. And there's this I'm such a miserable failure for the Lord. And if you haven't felt that feeling, there's a good chance you might not know Him. Because if you know Him, you can't help but feel like a mess. And not all the time. There's some times when I feel pretty good about things. But there are times when I fall so short of what God wants me to be. And you do too, if you're honest. So what we do a lot of times, here's what we do, and please don't do this because it shows your ignorance. What we develop hierarchy of Christian living. Oh, he's the preacher, he's supposed to live that way. Oh, he's a deacon, he's supposed to live that way. Let me just tell you what. Everyone should exalt Christ in everything they do with their body. And so when you start saying, well, I'm not one of those spiritual people, that's kind of scary. Because Christ came into your life to change you and to change me and to make us better people. But the struggle we have is with allowing Him to do that. So what I want to kind of do today is kind of walk you through this process and how I have gone through this process and what I understand. And we begin with the very first point that is found in verses 14 through 17, it's this. I am the problem. Quit blaming somebody else for your failures in the Christian life. You know, if your parents didn't raise you right, still no excuse. You have a chance to make a difference. You have a chance to live. Quit making excuses for your failure like I'm just different. No, you're not any different. Jesus Christ saves the same. He doesn't have a certain way for certain people and a certain. We all have within us the ability to be godly, to be like Christ. And so basically in verses 14 through 17, Paul says, I am the problem. He says, the problem's not the law. The Old Testament law was given for one purpose and one purpose alone. It was to point out sin in our lives. It can't save you. Obeying is the law. The Old Testament won't save you. The only thing that saves you is Jesus Christ. But what Paul is saying here is that it's not the law's fault. It's me. I am the problem. The struggle is me. One of the things we need to make sure everybody understands is that when you become a Christian, there is a struggle. Listen, there are many people who live in sin and it doesn't bother them. The reason is simple. They don't have the Holy Spirit living within them. The Holy Spirit makes us aware that we sin. The Holy Spirit makes us aware that we fall short. And so when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, what happens? There's a struggle that starts in your heart. And the problem is, we as human beings are born with a sin nature, and after we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that sin nature does not go away. Now, the sin nature is powerless to make you do wrong, okay? Don't think that the devil made me do it. No, you chose to do it. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you have a power that is stronger than your sin nature. It's the Holy Spirit. And so Paul is going through this and he goes, man, this is such a struggle. He says in verse 15, I really don't understand myself. Have you ever felt that way as a Christian? I really don't understand myself, for what I want to do is right, but I don't do it. How many times have you felt like that? I have. Instead, he says, I do what I hate. How many times have you made a choice and as soon as you made the choice, you thought to yourself, I hate that choice. You see, as believers in Jesus Christ, we need to understand that there is a struggle that goes on with each one of us. It's that sin nature that is powerless to make us do wrong, but it's there to tempt us. Paul, the Apostle Paul, who wrote a lot of the New Testament, says, I struggle. I feel like a failure. Verses 16 and 17, he says, But I know what I am doing is wrong. This shows that I agree with the law, that the law is good. So I am not the one doing wrong. It is the sin. He's saying, I know I am a part of the problem. And as believers in Jesus Christ, we have this problem, and this problem is us. It is our sin nature that is powerless living within us. And where I get into trouble and where you get into trouble is when you go out there and you don't know there's a war going on and you somehow think you're going to make it on your own. And the truth is, every time we try to live the Christian life in our own power and our own strength, we come up failures. There is no such thing as self-help Christianity. It's not you can try your way to be godly. It's not that you can try harder and be more spiritual. That is not Christianity. We are who we are because of what Jesus Christ did for us. He took our place. He did what we couldn't do, which is forgive our sins. And so we need to get all right with the fact that in our own strength, in our own power, we can't handle it. So here's the first step. You need to be willing to admit that you are the problem. I know one of the things my daughter does, drug rehab, and one of the first steps in getting recovery is to admit you're the problem. You can't blame somebody. It's I'm the problem. Same way in the Christian life. You can't blame someone else. It's not the bad preaching. It's not the bad singing. It's not... No. It's the bad you. That part that begins to live out through you because you don't allow the Holy Spirit to have victory. But the second part of that first part is this. You've got to admit that you're a problem, but you have to admit that there is a solution, which is Jesus Christ, the higher power. You see, I don't like the word higher power necessarily if it leaves it out and as not being Jesus Christ, because I believe personally the only higher power is Jesus Christ. God in the flesh. And so I think what we see here in these verses is Paul saying, I am the problem and I need help. James 1, 14 and 15, listen to what it says. He says this, temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. Those desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. Here's what James says. James says, hey, the temptation comes from within, not from without. And when you give in to that temptation, it becomes sin. You see, being tempted is not sin. Giving in to temptation is sin. And so Paul begins this teaching by saying basically the place that we all begin is to be able to admit, I am the problem. You will never grow in your spiritual life until you say, I am the problem. And you will always be the problem. That's why you need Jesus Christ working through you. So that's the first one. Second thing is this. Paul says, I am miserable. For a Christian to have the Holy Spirit living within them and to live in sin and not be bothered by it is a problem. I personally believe that the Scripture teaches that when we do wrong, when we don't live for Him, when we do wrong, that there is a thing called conviction. And when I don't do right as a Christian, it terribly bothers me. And I believe Paul is pointing out in these verses, he says, listen, I am miserable. And the reason Paul is miserable is because, if you'll notice in verses 18 through 20, he is trying to live the Christian life in his own strength. Notice how many times the word I appears. He says, and I know that nothing good dwells. Listen, there is nothing more miserable than trying to live the Christian life in your own strength. And I would go along and say this, it is impossible to do. Paul says, I am miserable. All the hard work that I've tried to put in living to be a Christian has not worked. I am miserable. He says in verse 23, he says, but there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. He says, I'm divided, I'm miserable. There's this part of me that wants to do right, and there's this part of me that wants to do wrong, and I am just a mess. And in verse 24, he comes to the conclusion. He says in verse 24, oh, what a miserable person I am. Wretched person. Why was he a miserable, wretched person? Because he couldn't live the Christian life in his own strength. Because he was continually being defeated by his own sin nature. And he hated it. The question is, how can we live in sin and not be bothered by it? I would say personally that as we begin to do wrong, as we begin to be sinful, that because of the Holy Spirit living in us, we become miserable. And if you're not becoming miserable, then why not? Because you have God living within you. I love it that this saint, this guy we hold up as a godly example, he's standing before his people and he's saying, I am miserable. He's miserable because he can't live the Christian life in his own strength. There's no such thing as self-help Christianity. It's only Jesus' help. And Paul is a beautiful picture of one who is struggling to live the Christian life. And it's like me, three steps forward, four steps backward. And it's just a battle all the time. And that bothers me so much. Paul says, I'm miserable. And then he says, what will free me? He wants to be free from that feeling. What will free me from this miserable state that I'm in? He says, who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Well, the answer to that is the third thing. The answer is this. It's Jesus Christ our Lord. The only solution to getting victory in the Christian life over your sin nature and out of the mess you make of things is Jesus. And if we understand this concept in verse 25, it can literally change tomorrow, it can literally change today, and it can literally change the way we live. Look what he says in verse 25. Thank God. And then he says, the answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin. Paul's teaching a couple of things. He's teaching this, first of all, he's teaching us that in the future, when our physical bodies die, the struggle ends. As long as I draw breath, as long as I live as a Christian, there's going to be this battle between the Holy Spirit and the sin nature. It's just part of being human. But what Paul is saying is there's coming a time in the future when you will get a new body to match up with your spirit, and you will no longer have this struggle between doing right and doing wrong. So there's a future deliverance that he is talking about there. But here's something else. I believe he's talking about also how Jesus Christ can deliver you and me now. Now, this last part is, I'm going to share with you how I think we can all win this battle with our sin nature. And I've already said you have to admit that you have a problem, but I'm just curious. Because the whole message is not worth it if there's not a problem. Do you struggle with trying to be what God wants you to be? I mean, raise your hand. I just want to see. Because you can't get help unless you admit you have a problem. Okay? If the Apostle Paul has a problem and you don't have a problem, you just lied. Because you don't get probably any better than that. So what do we do? Well, I think there's several things. The first step, I think, is this. We have to agree that we cannot win the battle in our own strength. Number one is just say, I can't do it. Because you can't. If Paul can't do it, I can't do it. So you have to admit that you can't do it. And by admitting that you can't do it, you have to surrender to the Holy Spirit. Surrender means you say, it's you, not me. That's the first step. I think the second step is found in that description of Jesus Christ. He says, the answer is Jesus Christ, our Lord. And a lot of times in churches, we want to present Jesus Christ as only the Savior, which I do believe He is. Jesus Christ saves you from your sins. You don't save yourself. Jesus Christ, our Lord, is our Savior. But we so many times talk about Him being Savior that we don't talk about Him being Lord. The word in the Greek is a word called kurios. It means to be master or boss. It basically means that you allow Jesus Christ to be the master of your life. I don't believe there's a salvation one and a salvation two. I believe salvation is believing in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. And so the question that to ask yourself is Jesus my Lord? Is He the boss of your life? Is He the master of your life? Is He the CEO of your life? Or do you make the rules for what is right and wrong in your life? So I believe the second step is so incredibly important that after you say, you know, I can't do it, I surrender, is you surrender to a lord, a master, a CEO, a boss. And then the third thing is this. I think we have to understand that being a Christian, that change in our life is a process. It doesn't just happen at salvation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come." So here's the picture. As you trust Christ as your Savior, the picture should be your old way, your sinful way, should be getting less and less. And the new way, which is Jesus Christ, should become more and more. So it's a process, and it means that today you may be like this, but the goal that tomorrow, or the next day, or the next day, you're going to be becoming more like Christ. It is a process. The moment you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that was just the starting line. And through life, He's wanting to make you more like Him. And so it's a process. It doesn't happen all at once. You don't become what you want to be all at once. And then the fourth thing is you got to change the way you think. The battle for the Christian is in the mind, and it is where we lose most of our battles. In Romans 12, verse 2, it says this. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. But here's what I want you to hear. But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. The reason you read Scripture, the reason you study God's Word, is so that it will change the way that you think. Because you will never change the way you act until you change the way you think. And so God's Word is the way that that happens. And then the fifth thing that is so vitally important, it was the children's illustration. You're going to fall in your walk. Every single person in this room is going to mess up. Every single person in this room is going to make a decision to live for Christ only to blow it, right? There's not a person in this room that's still hitting 100% their entire life of living for Christ. So what do? You get up when you fall down. The godly man may trip 7 times, but they will get up again. So yes, you may have made this commitment to get involved in church and you fail. So what do? You get up. You may have made a commitment to read your Bible daily, but you fail. So what do? You get up. You start over. Failure does not have to be final. And for the Christian to grow and be what God wants you to be, you're going to have a lot of falling and a lot of getting up. It's just part of life. But the tragedy to me is when we fall down and we don't get up. That is the tragedy to me. We say, I can't do it anymore. I can't live the Christian life. That's great. You can't. But He can. Get up. The sixth thing, confess when you mess up. When you mess up, which you will fall, confess it. Be willing to say to God, I was wrong. 1 John 1:9 says, but if we confess our sins to Him, He punishes us? No. If we confess our sins to Him, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the gospel. That's good. So confess when you mess up. The seventh thing, stay connected to Jesus. That sounds so cliche, but the way to live the Christian life and get victory over your sin nature is to stay connected in a relationship with Jesus Christ. It says in John 15:5, He says, yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. It does not say knowing the Bible better than anybody else. It does not say going to church more than anybody else. It says staying connected to Jesus, which is a relationship. You want to get victory in your life? Stay connected. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:57, he says, "But thank God he gives us the victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ." So here's the deal. Every single Christian has a struggle to live the Christian life. Every one of us. And the reason is because there is this thing that we have in us that is powerless to make us do wrong, but it can tempt us. It's called our sin nature. It's called the flesh, whatever you want to call it. It's that part of you that wants to do wrong. And every one of us have that part. But within you there is also, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit wants you to become like Christ. That Holy Spirit wants you to do what is right. And it is in conflict with that sin nature. And we need to understand, we can't tell God, "Oh, I can't be godly. I can't be..." Sure, you can't. He can make you godly. He does by dying for us. But the thing I want us to see is we can't continue to live as failures in our Christian life. Be willing to say, "I'm the problem." Be willing to say, "I'm miserable when I don't do right." And then finally just say, "Jesus, it's time to do right." You know, people go to church trying to find answers, and I keep finding the answer in this guy named Jesus. Every single time. And if you don't think he can change you, then that's scary. Because he can. Are you free? Are you miserable? Or do you have the joy of Christ living in you? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this passage that just reminds me that someone like the Apostle Paul, the guy that I consider to be one of the great heroes of the New Testament, can feel so miserable by his sin. And Father, may I never get to a point in my Christian life where I don't feel miserable because of my shortcomings and sin. I pray for First Baptist Mount Ida that we will see that every single one of us have an obligation to live for your glory and to allow you to change us for the better. We can't do it. We can't do it, but you can. And so, Father, this morning, maybe there's someone who understands that they can't live the Christian life, and the biggest need they have this morning is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I pray that they would talk to me or someone else in our church family about how to know you personally. Father, I pray that maybe this morning Christians will realize the battle that is going on and how they can win the battle. And Father, I thank you most of all this morning that, as Paul said, "Who can set me free?" That the answer is Jesus. Jesus Christ can set us free. The biggest problem is we need to get out of the way and let you do that. Father, I give you this invitation time. And if there's someone who needs to make a decision now or later on, I pray that they will. So, Lord, help us to worship you by giving you our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.